Hello.
Hello.
You're welcome. I'm glad to see you here. I believe I'm going to delight the best. So, in the previous class, actually, we saw some of the Maasai, cultural weapons and also the identity of Maasai things. So when we carry a bush knife or we carry a club or a stick or a spear, it's because it's our cultural identity. So it's really very interesting to find that this weapon, to me, I can face a lion. So, but also with a bush knife or and a club, I can also face the lion and the other predators. Because our culture depends from taking care of livestock, sheep, cows, and goats. So that's our culture. Everything depends from, we depend from actually livestock for our survival. But then we are going to see about religion, Maasai religion. It's very interesting that the Maasai believe in God called Engai, and the larger part of people, mostly the old people, and those people who didn't go to school to educate, a larger population of them believe that God is there, but not connection with Christianity ideology. And so even if they see Christians people are preaching, but at the end of the day when you talk to them, they don't believe in that ideology. That is my own personal findings about Maasai religions and Christianity. That these people who didn't go for any modern civilization or any kind of education, learning from the grassroots of issues like vowels, now they know how to read and write. They don't believe in the ideology of Christianity in connection to their religion. They only believe in one God and Engai, and so we will see how this connection came into being to some people who went maybe to schools. Now, Maasai ideas and God. So, in Maasai and Engai, that means God is a feminine attributed to women. And prayer keep us in there's a prayer of Maasai people that they say, God and Engai, keep us in your stomach, carry us in the wetness of your womb, and do not take us out again. That's one of the Maasai prayer in the morning and in the evening when they go to sleep. They connect a womb because a womb has a lot of white color, but also the fluid. So that kind of womb that carry all the generation of Maasai people. So they pray to God that, God, keep us in your stomach. Because they believe that somebody to be in your stomach and be, you know, taken out again as a human being and survive is a magic to them. So this is the only God can do that. But also the Maasai regard God as a supernatural being that talks to human being through dreams. So when people have dreams, they say that it's maybe God talking to me. But also through diviners. We will see who are the diviners in the Maasai religion. And through disasters. So when natural disasters like flooding, like droughts, and maybe earthquakes come to Maasai land, they say that God is talking to us. Maybe there's something wrong with our deeds, so we need to change. We need to go and pray to God because this disaster is the sign that God is doing something. God is angry with something. So, what gives, and also what God gives humankind for survival. So, everything that we consume, we use for our survival, the Maasai believe that it is happening, we are surviving because of God. So, this kind of survival this livelihood we are using for our survival is actually the idea of God. But also the Maasai believe in a physical manifestation of the universe in the that the universe is autobiography of God to humankind. They say God talked to a person through tree by tree, a river by river, stream by stream, a mountain by mountain, etc. So all this physical manifestation and the magic of, or the miracle of creation, the Maasai believe that this is God. This is all about God. So sun, for example, in Maasai, sun can be a smile to humankind. So every morning when we see the sun, the Maasai believe that this is God's smile to us.
We do too.
Collections of Maasai names for God. We have 32 words from the Proverbs, from prayers and songs that give us the meaning of God. And it's very interesting. You'll go to see that in the Bible, for those even theologians, you'll find that in the Bible, 50 words has been actually uttered in the name of God, in the Bible. But the Maasai, we have 32 words. So, for example, Ngai is one who originates, or the originator to us. Laiterokop, to Maasai, is the beginner of the earth. We have also Ngaitokweli, one who brings to life. Ngai Parmuani, God is colored. That means Ngai now God is black, Ngai neighbor God is white, Ngai Nanyuki God is red. It is very hard to imagine that, but for example, during the sunset, if you see the cloud, the sky become red, that's why they must call the red God. But also, if you see, they also connect the sky, sometimes the color of the sky, and the thunderstorms. So in that world, so all the thunderstorms, when the clouds form and become black or white, so that's why they call Ngai, white Ngai and a black God. And Nairuko, my one I believe in. That's another word of God. And I Kurukur, my thundering one. This is because when there is a high rainfall and there's a lot of thunderstorm, so they must believe that, oh, and a guru is the one giving a heavy sound. That is talking to me. Magelani, powerful, knowing one, or mighty one. Olaidemani, one who is able. Patuluso, one who surpasses, and Nati Ilakir, where there are stars. Nalakwa Fawan. So the same. So Natana near one. Oldapash wide one. God is from horizon to horizon. That's the translation of Oldapash, from horizon to horizon. So. Wide one. So God is very wide. Naitajewo, one who saves me. Pasai, one prayed to. Norperes I, my one of newly formed grasses. And this is connected to what nature gives us for our livestock. Nasha I, my one who reigns. Ngakenya, a silver eye, my splendor of the morning. Noongokiro, I, my bright star. So all the stars, the Maasai call Ngokiro. Oljokutlai, Kiawariye Adama, my shepherd night and day. So this one, that means the protector. So they pray, go, the prayer, go far and wide, my Engai be with you. So when a person is going for a safari somewhere in Maasai land, he's going to be blessed with that, go far and wide, may God be with you. That is the prayer for the name of Ochokulai Engewarie Adama. That means my shepherd during day and night. And Enopei, the master. Naorikoriki, Erike, one who separates path and allocates behavior. This is, the master believes that every human being is given attribute of behavior. So, it's the, all the behaviors are originated from God. Noasai am I my bidden one, because the Maasai, the biddings, all the biddings belong to Maasai, and all the artifacts from bidding actually and the jewelry is made from the Maasai artifacts and discovery and designs. So they believe that God is the one that gave them beads. So my bidded one. Noopirai, my feathered one. So Lopir is can be translated into two. One is the feathers of birds we get for our decoration for rituals, but also the rainfall can be also called Lopir, because it is the formation of clouds give that kind of a translation. Noangerai, my one of children. The Maasai believe that God is the one that gives us children. Na Bakisha, one who heal. Na Pik, Nitai, one who puts in and takes out. This is connected mostly to pregnancy of women. So the Maasai believe that that is magical, you know. It's not science to us. It's magical, and the one that God that make a human, you know, female to receive a baby, but also the one that make that woman also to give birth to that baby. So the one who puts in and takes out, but also is connected to life and death. Tepesiai, one of the chain bracelets. So those are the names about Maasai, the names of God in the Maasai religion. We have 32 of them. Holy places, source of life and existence in Maasai religion. Boma, Engan or homestead is a holy place in Maasai religion, because they say it's a place where all the generations, all the offsprings, for the admission into the fellowship of the society are born. So it's a holy place. But also house, Engaji. And this is connected to our culture. For example, if any physical confrontation always happens for warriors maybe, or some people while they are singing the songs of nature, the songs of praising their quest about God, everything. When people get angrier about, you know, their emotional feelings, and maybe some people might feel like they are fighting, always they go out of a house and they go out of a boma, that means homestead, and go to the forest rather than fighting in a holy place. But also we have biodiversity, which we call biodiversity in your name, Selsel. Selsel means something moving in a cycle to provide life. So this kind of places give a source of life to us, to our belief, that biodiversity is the one that give us everything for our survival, water, honey, wild fruits, medicinal plants. A house is where we have privacy, we have a reunion as people of one family, but also a reunion of, you know, thinking about the coming of another generation in your house and in your homestead. So these places are very, very important to Maasai beliefs. So Greenwich, for example, in the biodiversity, Greenwich gives a sense of God's kindness, love, and survival. So you see that young boy is heading calves in the biodiversity area. So that boy is sensing the kindness of God, love, and survival. Because if the land is, our livestock will flourish. And our livestock will get milk and health, so we can slaughter them, we can have milk from them. So that kind of translation about biodiversity in our religion come into senses that what biodiversity give us through God is so kind, is so dear. So that kind of perception, Greenwich, of biodiversity is so kind, is so loved, and is give us a sense of survival. Now, Burma, a holy place to produce offsprings to another generation into the fellowship of society. So that is a massive Burma. So in a massive Burma, all the people live in a cycle, and also they fence, protecting the people and their livestock. So they stay there, they reproduce there, they have a lot of reunion and cultural deeds on Maasai for generation to generation. And they live in your Burma, and they don't impress to live in Latvia, but they live in what the biodiversity gives to them, what God gives to them. A house, a place to restore, regain peace, love, and reunion with God and people. So a house, let's say a massive house. So when massive people actually stay in a house, they restore something connected to beliefs. They regain something for peace according to our beliefs. But also it's where they transmit love of their children. But also they do a lot of reunion. And it's very interesting. Our external, our culture, that the family is we, but also the extended family is all involved in existence, in reunion, in love, in regaining and restore what we believe in. And they do it in a house. And during the night is where people stay in a house and narrate all the stories about Maasai, you know, Maasai history, Maasai beliefs, and everything we do. The things that connect Maasai with God, blessings and source of life. So to us, something, what does really connect us to God? One is a tree. So trees and plants used for sign of peace and prayers. For example, Oreteti, in scientific name, Fascianalysis, and olive tree. Those two trees are very, very important in our culture, in our religion. All forms of grasses and leaves. So we use trees, we use grasses and leaves in prayers, in blessings. So Oreteti is very important to us, and olive tree is very important. And when I was watching one documentary the past 2 weeks, that the clashes between Israelites and Palestinians in the Middle East. So these people were like, why are you destroying our olive tree? These are the places we use for worshiping. So I was wondering, when I know that olive tree is very, very important in your beliefs, so it's, there must be something which is connecting the same beliefs. So these species at the same time, you realize that the importance of biodiversity to Maasai culture is that they preserve all these species because they never destroy them, because they are connected to religion, beliefs. But also the stoutness of tree and long life also optimize, you know, an ideal of life. So if a tree that survived, the mountain survived so many years, they must connect it that this is an optimized for, you know, long life. So they actually take care of that thing. Mountains are used as pilgrimages For example, there's a proverb in the Masai called Ore Ildonyuna Elangai, the mountains are of God. So that proverb is very, very important and powerful to us. And you will see one of the very famous mountains in Tanzania where the Masai go for pilgrimages. And, you know, we went with the travelers with the group when they were in Tanzania. It was fascinating, you know, because they were learning how we invoke our ancestors. Forest for slaughtering animals for sacrifices. So the forest that is so quiet that we know these places are very, you know, they are holy place. We take animals and we slaughter them, and that forest is a holy place, so we take care of it. A calabash. A calabash is used as a tool for blessing. They mix milk, water, honey, and grasses and leaves to spread for people, places, and directions. So when we put milk, water, honey into a calabash, we actually spread to the people for blessing them. Or we spread to the direction of east, west, south, and north. Because we believe that God brings the blessing from those directions of the world. Or we, like, if we are like blessing a mountain or a tete tree, we do that to that tree using the calabash. So the calabash is very important. Olegbani, that's a spiritual leader, healer, and diviner. He is highly respected and honored in Masaland. So this person is a god. Mostly they used to put their stone, a horn of a buffalo, mostly. So that when they put, so they use these stones to predict the future, to prophesy about something. So these people are very, very, very important to our Maasai religion because they foresee the future. They predict something and they tell you. In rituals and blessings, elders appear in special outlook like that. So they paint their faces and wear the skin of our animals that has been decorated. So those guys are waiting to bless someone. Or they are going to bless something outside of the homestead. They appear like that. So blessing their calabash, you see? So these warriors are going to the forest to do a blessing. And they are carrying, one of them is carrying a calabash. So a calabash is very, very important. That guy, this guy is the spiritual leader. Mostly he wore a hierarch skin to distinguish him from the rest of the people. So, but the elders are the one who help him in counting the stone while he's doing his prophecy. So a spiritual leader who is a diviner but also is a medicinal and healer, he has that power to heal, but also he has a power to provide medicinal plants and give the spiritual guidance about the rituals of the Maasai, about the individual spiritual beliefs, and the, also the individual healing of a certain kind of alignment, for example. The roles of Olegbani, the spiritual leader, the role of spiritual leader. So he officiates and directs ceremonies and sacrifices. He heals people of both mental, physical, and spiritual ailments. That's what he do. He provides advice to elders on the spiritual aspects of the community matters. All the spiritual matters of a Maasai community is provided by him, or he advises them. He is a prophet, shaman, and seer. He sees the future. But also, he named the successive of Edset in support of elders. So, you know, in Maasai, we live in what we call Edset system, where by every generation when they grow, they are prepared. These boys are prepared, and they are circumcised, and they are given the official name of the Edset, and later they go to be warriors from warriorhood they become elders. So all the ritual that must happen for that headset is the spiritual leader actually the one who named them in support with the elders. He opened and closed various ceremonies of headset transition. So when one headset is going to graduate to become elders, and now another generation is prepared into the fellowship of the society, is also the one who end and open the new one. He is between man and God and the other world. So mostly if people have psychological problems, and we believe maybe they are cursed, they can go to this Olegoni, and how this man can, you know, give him a spiritual direction and bring him into relationship of an individual and God. So, Olegoni is supported by elders, as I say, to see stones of prophecy in a guard for seeing for seeing the future. That's what the elders do with him. So that guy is turning back the stone after what he said. And what always people do when you do so, when you want to Olegoni to see the problem you have, so the guard is closed, and he gives this to you. You open, you spit, you talk to it, then you do like this, and now take the stones out. Olegoni, so that is an active volcanic mountain in Tanzania. It's very steep. Sub has made it to the top, right? We made it to the top, I remember. So it's called Olonyo Lengai. So we have seen that Masai called God Lengai. So when you say Lengai, it's of God. Mountain of God, it's active volcano where Masai go for pilgrimage. So on the foot of that mountain, every year the Masai go for pilgrimage. Because they believe that the volcano that comes out and all the earthquakes, you know, happening around, is God is angry, so they want to tell God, come down. That's why they go to the pilgrimage. Origin of faith in Masai religion. So let's see the origin of faith in Masai religion. The Masai believe that God created world and forming three groups of people. That's where so it's very interesting that the Masai did not only, you know, take this kind of faith about God to themselves, but also they give that faith to other people. So the Masai believe that the first people who were created by God were illiterate. That means the archaic pygmies. That's what we believe. These are the hunters and gatherers people. They live in the bush. Second people created were the Maasai, whom God gave them cattle. And the third group is Kikuyu, farmers, whom God gave them seed and grain. So all this kind of belief made Maasai people to be able to accommodate these people and live together because we depend on each other. That's what the Maasai believe. So, like you find that right now, the Bushmen people were assimilated, totally assimilated into Maasai culture, just because of that belief. That Maasai believe that we have to accommodate them, because due to the forces and, you know, the schemes and changes of the natural environment and everything happening, so they accommodated them, because they say these are the people who were first created. So, and it's very interesting, in Kikuyu language, these are the Bantu speakers. In Kikuyu language, they also call God Ngai. Not Ngai, but they call Ngai. It's very interesting that they also call God Ngai. Olosho, Lengai, people of God. So, Olosho is the people. So the Masai believe that, so in the Maasai proverb, there is a proverb called Erisio and Maasai Engai. Equal are the Maasai and God in that proverb. So if one respects people, he or she sees he or he will absolutely be in respect to God. So this is what the master says, that if you respect me, you are also respecting God. So the people or worship, or that they are located anywhere, to master is, it gives them the foundation of faith that these people were created and they are equal to God. So if you respect them, you are absolutely in respect to God. Things escaped you by master to avoid curse. So it is a vice versa to get blessings. One, Paladi or Unparalleled Edicet member of your Edicet must be treated with respect and dignity. So the people of my age, when we were circumcised and become warriors, all of them, I must respect them with respect and dignity. Because these elders, when they were preparing us, they gave us ability to curse. So you can curse a person of your Edicet because maybe he's not respecting you, or is not providing what is equal to what God wants us to be. So I can receive that ability to curse. So from that point, Olaji, that means the headset, you must respect them. So that to avoid curse from them. But also, Olaguanani, the leader of the headset. So the leader of every headset in Maasai culture must be selected, blessed, and given authority. So this leader is in top of all of us. He guides us in the headset, all kind of decisions. So we must respect them. But also Olamal, every Maasai rituals and beliefs, when it happens, there must be a delegation of people to perform that ritual, pregnant or movement for cultural awareness or initiation. So if we need to initiate any cultural, any ritual awareness, so there must be a group of men, a group of women. So when they come and they tell you we need one cow in order to support our cultural movement, you never say no, because you believe that these people are carrying blessing and curse at the same time. So that kind of growing, knowing that in the part of beliefs, leading the Maasai people to respect any delegation moving for the cultural performance. But also, this one is, they do, this delegation, they do either prayers for children, rain funding, etc. So we know that they are going to do a prayer for the whole land scape to get rainfall, or for all women to get children and their children to grow in love. So we must respect that delegation and give them everything they need, every right they acquire. So that is women, delegation, prayer. They are moving for a prayer. And mostly they go to pray for women that they didn't get children. So they go and ask God, our fellow women here, they don't get children, we need, please bless them, give them children, give them courage. So they move. And they believe that when they move in your delegation, God will listen, God will attend their prayers. That is men, delegation for ritual blessing. So they appear like that. Some of them might anoint their head with red ochre, and they be in a very long line, and they be blessed by the elders. So the collection of these people be blessed, be God will attend their prayers. That is the interpretation. That's the meaning. Maasai prayer and shamanism. So what are the samples of prayer in Maasai religion? One of the leading prayer among the Maasai people, they say, Misho Yok Angai Ngishu Angera. That's one of the leading Maasai prayer. That means, may Creator God give us cattle and children. So children and cattle are important aspects of Maasai people and shamanism. Very, very important. So that's why, if you are in my previous class, the way the Maasai adopt children is so interesting. you find that a woman who never gave birth to a child because of biological problems, so this man may be, because we practice polygamism, so this man who married maybe three wives, and this one of the wife doesn't give birth to children at home. So one wife must give a child to this woman to adopt. And what they do, when a child is born from another woman, these women become together very close every day. So when a child is starting to see, so when this mother gives breastfeeding, they cover the baby with ice. When they cover, so the baby sucks milk when it is full and given to this mother. While the baby is covered, the eyes, the face is covered, and now they open. So this baby will grow knowing this is my mother. In order to give love to this woman, it has been a part of our culture, because we believe that, to us, we believe a woman must give children. Women throw milk at the sky to four directions. This is another symbol of prayer to the, of the world. To thank God or the Spirit of God in any kind of prayer. So milk is used for blessings and signify clean material. To us, if you, in bad luck, cut your friend with this bush knife and the blood come, I must go inside and bring milk with the calabash and put to where the blood is bleeding in Maasai religion. So milk is used to clean anything that we know it is red, connected to blood. That is happening either for purpose or for bad luck, as an accident. So milk is very important, and women, when, before they take this milk, so when a woman is milking a cow to a calabash, so she just do like three times, and take this milk and put to the cover of a calabash and throw to four directions of the world, saying, God, thank you because you gave us this milk. And milk, it signifies clean, something that can be clean any kind of sin, you know. Like, I don't know, there is a scripture in the Bible talking about God will clean our sins and become white like snow. I think it has a connection with mass and milk, which is white. I don't know. Make animal sacrifices at the base of the fig tree, as I say. Maasai baptism. The Maasai have a baptism, and it's really very interesting. We call Maasai baptism oltigong. That means milk, water, and the grasses are mixed in a container and wipe children to their faces three times at the entrance of a boma. This one, so the elder carry this container where the water is there, milk is there, and grasses, and take these grasses and wipe a baby to the face three times, but not like wipe this, all this, no. It's like tip, tip, tip three times, and the baby walk inside the bone. And we call it oltigong. It's very interesting. I did that when I was young. But also, kettle symbolizes qualities of God, unity of God, and man. Meat eating, milk drinking, rituals are sacramental meals. So these animals provide meat and milk to us. So when we eat in a ritual, you know, when we slaughter these animals and eat them, they give us the qualities of God, because those are the sacramental meals in a ritual definition. At birth, circumcision, marriage, and all the great edged ceremonies, livestock is ritually killed and meat blessed by elders and consumed together. So the elders just bless this meat, and then now all the people eat together, because it's now already blessed in the ritual process. Relationship between Christianity and Maasai religion. So now we come about Christianity and Maasai religion. The relationship, according to me, So when Christianity ideology arrived, it gave an interpretation of native religion as superstition and barbaric. So this one turned away from sin and idolatry. So that means they interpreted that this native religion is based with sin and idolatry. But also, when Catholic missionaries tried to convert the Mase people into Christianity, they failed. So they used the Mase traditional methods to spread Christianity. That's why, for a long time in East Africa, the Catholic Church was sacrificing animals like the Maasai, but in a very technical way, in order to convert the Maasai into Christianity, because it was very hard to convert these people to believe in another religion. So the Maasai liked the idea, because the Catholic missionaries told them there's no need for you to live your own religion, your own way of life. So you continue believing in that, but what we are telling you, there is another kind of, you know, God in another form. So that's what we are trying to tell you. But we continue also impressing your own way of worshiping. So they were sacrificing. And the Maasai liked that idea. That's why the first belief in Maasailand was Catholicism, Catholic ideas, ideology. The Maasai were impressed by the ideology of Catholicism and impressed it theoretically, not practically, because they didn't build churches. The Maasai didn't build churches, so it was theoretical. And when the sun rise, this Maasai, all of them go for grazing. Nobody say, this is Sunday, I have to go to the church. So that's why it was theoretically. The typical Maasai is hard to separate between Catholics and Lutherans. So a Maasai who didn't go to school is very hard to differentiate between Catholics and Lutherans. So when Lutheranism also started to come to into Maasailand as an ideology of another denomination, the Maasai could accept it so easily because they failed to separate it, these two ideologies. Lutheran ideology arrived. So now the Lutheran ideology arrived, so the Maasai received it with evidence and enthusiasm, because churches in Tanzania and the ideology is so, because they use the same approach as Catholic people. But the Pentecostal churches also arrived in Tanzania, which is to Maasai are worse offenders. To them, according to Maasai, these are worse offenders. How could these people preach like this? How would these people separate the families, the societies? Because most of the Pentecostal churches, they take a child away from the parents, trying to convince that child to believe in their own ideology. And this child, if he is convinced, you will see even her parents that they are not saved. And now the babies run away following the crazy preaching of the gospel and not listening to their parents. It's happening right now. So when it arrived, the ideology, the Maasai said it was offended, so the Maasai see Maasai religion as total superstition. They see as barbaric and evil. But also, they are living in dividing the families and the people and community, as I say. So to them, when you walk in the congregation where the Pentecostal people are, they greet the rest of the people, they identify in their church, like, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God, praise the Lord. But when they greet you, you are not their followers, they just say, they don't even touch you, huh? So that's why people say they are dividing the society, they are dividing the people, and they see themselves like, we are holy. We are the people of God. I don't know. So, but also they regard mass spiritual leaders as sorcerers and a demon. And demon, you know, reign with people. That's what they believe. Now, Master and Lutherans. That was my, this is the main focus. So, Lutherans promote cultural literacy in Masaland, Maasai literacy and arts in Masaland, because there are a lot of mushrooms of Maasai gospel music. So the people, even the Pentecostal and the non-Maasai people, like to use a lot of Maasai artifacts, use a lot of Maasai, you know, sign of or design of singing and dancing to produce music, gospel music, and they sell a lot. So all the churches try to take that kind of creativity, that kind of curiosity of Maasai music, and integrate it into the church or into the denomination in everywhere where they practice this kind of denomination ideology of Christianity. But also they have been assisting members of minority cultures to find fulfillment within their development and culture. For example, there's a guy called David Samson. He was in Masala in Tanzania for a long time. Interestingly, so David Samson was a friend of my grandfather in the side of my mother. It's very interesting. So David Samson stayed in Masaland for a long time, and he built something like so many churches and so many schools in Masaland, and very one of the leading Arusha Lutheran medical center belonged to Lutheran Church, was built in the intention to make sure the Maasai women from all the local areas come and get something like free prenatal. So this kind of idea and spread of education and health facilities made the Maasai, that's why I say they received it, Lutherans with evidence and interest, because of what Lutheran Church was doing in Masaland, particularly through its few missionaries like David Samson. So I came to know David Samson that he was a friend of my grandfather in the side of my mother, when my brother, that means my cousin, because to us in our culture, we don't have cousins, we don't have a nephew. He was studying in one Lutheran school in Arusha called Moringe, and there was one person from US, and who was talking in a class and said, there is a Maasai leader called Kurumanjo, who was very great, so he was just giving some kind of their historical quest in living in Tanzania. And so my brother said, I'm the grandson of Kurumanjo. You are? Yes. So from that point, they took him, he was very hard to see him, and so now he also, the one told me that David Samson was a friend of our grandfather because of that kind of story from a person in the class, and now he went to see David Samson. So when David Samson passed away, we went together to his funeral in Arusha as a kind of giving our honor to his family. Education for Maasai girls and health centers, as I said, increased the Lutheran followers. So the Maasai girls Lutheran secondary school in Russia is a phenomenon, because it brought the equal education between boys and girls in Masaland, because the Maasai actually don't give equal opportunity in education to girls and boys. You cannot compare, but not all also boys and Maasai are going to school, because the Maasai don't believe in moral education. But those few who are going are only boys. So this one brought more understanding, more relationship with the Lutheran in Masalan. They have been preaching love, encouraging Maasai men to abandon oppressive culture, like wife beating, discouraging female circumcision, curses, and drunkenness. So this kind of encouragement, some of them to me is moral. It's something that is moral, you can take it. For example, if you abandon oppressive culture, like let's say beating women, that's your moral thing to check. But also maybe heavy drunkenness. It's also a moral thing to discourage, because there are people, there are old Maasai people, that maybe they are drinking a lot according to some small towns coming to Masalan, and now all other atrocities are happening in our land, like eviction in our land. So many people turn psychologically. They have a lot of psychological traumas because of eviction. So many people go and drink, and they must never be every drunkards. So that one has been encouraging the people in the church, has been encouraging the people, the Maasai, to do that. But also female circumcision, as I said in my previous class, that this is your moral thing. That when, so I can be the ambassador of, you know, educating people on a battle need, because there is a proof that there is psychological and scientific problems might happen. So it's not something that you say it's a bad thing if we live, but it's immoral, and it might be one of the best way to rescue women from psychological and physical pain. And I believe in that. But also, Lutheran Church has been a voice to protest the mistreatment of Maasai minority by the government in terms of land issues. So all the Maasai land is the best for wildlife. So the people are taking it because they need to isolate wildlife and move people away. But the Archbishop of Lutheran Church and other famous pastors of Lutheran are the leading, even than Catholic and Pentecostals, that has been issuing the statement against the government for what they are doing to us. So they must see, like, if a church can involve itself in trying to, you know, to protest against the human violation of human rights, then it's a good thing. That church is good. That church, we can actually go inside and pray, because they value about what is being human being and what is survival in any culture, in any society. Conflict between Maasai traditional religion and Christianity. The conflict now. So emergence of monogamous marriage, that is, all Maasai actually are conflicting with that, because marriage is a product of culture, acceptance rather than specific biblical teaching to Maasai. Moral biasness on the rules of behavior. So like other Pentecostal churches, and even maybe within Lutherans or Catholics, they say that when you behave like this one, that is wrong according to God. God doesn't allow you to behave like that. Or God doesn't allow you to wear clothes like that, maybe if you are in the church. So those are the moral or the rules of behavior that maybe according to the Maasai is a moral biasness about the rule of behavior. So that's one conflict. Breakdown of society values because of freedom of religion. So like this one, some of the young people run away from their parents because they are evil, they are maybe devil worshippers according to the perception of a certain denomination. So they run away and follow those people, and the family breakdown. So that one conflict a lot, and say the master say, what kind of religion is this that separated the children from their parents? that separate one family to another, one locational society to another, because of the ideology of religion or the freedom of religion. And also, this, you know, these guys are very intelligent. They're taking the right from the constitution and integrate with the freedom of religion from the constitution of the country. So now we have freedom of religion because the country allows. Mm. So you don't have to say that you're not allowed to preach the way I want. You're not allowed to tell me that I'm preaching in the wrong way. So they're trying to find a lot of followers using a lot of flimsy excuses, but you find that they're dividing the people, the families. But also, there's a lot of extremism of worships and denominations. Mm-hmm. So there are some of the churches that they're very extreme, like maybe the Seventh-day Adventists, they're very extreme. Pentecostals, they're very extreme. So that kind of extremism in Maasai land is actually, you know, conflicting with Maasai traditional religion. Conflict with the traditional religious practitioners, because Christianity, they say that dynasty of prophets that foresee good fortunes of others is wrong. Because Jesus Christ came as the only one person that can save all humankind in so many different ways. So it conflicts with that, because the Maasai believe with traditional healers. When they heal psychologically or with the problem of psychological and physical alignment, and a person get well, so to them they say, what is wrong with that? If my person is well now, what is wrong with that? Christianity intimidating traditional diagnosed illnesses and herbal medicines and ritual cures are evil, as evil. So they see like all these kind of diagnoses in herbal medicines and rituals cure are evil. So you don't need to. And the Maasai say, I have been using this medicine for a long time and living and existing. No problem. We maybe even according to research, the Maasai show that they live long life. The lifespan of Maasai is very long than any other tribe in East Africa. So if you tell me that situation is evil, they don't understand. It conflicts with them. New Gospels. You see, those in Maasai land, so those guys are coming to lie a lot. They put their table on top of light, the people shouting with big speakers. Those are the conflicting ideas coming. And mostly if you try to see, women are the ones who are going in large number. Because it's very easy sometimes to manipulate women. That's what we believe, I'm sorry. But that's, and mostly they run away, they try to take women and convince them, because men is, in Maasai land, some men most of the time beat them with a stick and chase them away. So mostly capture the minds of women because they can't fight with them. So this new gospel is conflicting a lot with the Maasai traditions. Now, conclusion. Houses and objects in Maasai land are constructed in order to enact rituals that symbolize and make possible the continuity of Maasai. The greatest gifts of God to the Maasai are children, cattle, and rain. Rain is the fertility of land for the cattle and for the people themselves. The Maasai concept of God is not strange to Christians. That is my own perception. It's not strange because we believe in one God, the origins of everything, the one who created everything. We also profess as God who gives life. The name given Engai can be found in 50 names given to God, Yahweh, from the Bible. We can easily find our Yahweh in the rich symbolism of the master religion from the fifth, 32 words of God. The Maasai are mentioned in the Bible, and I don't know why. If you read 1 Chronicles 9, verse 12, maybe Travis can read for us. The Maasai are mentioned in that verse.
So they're just listing off a bunch of different names of priests in Israel, and one of them they refer to as Maasai, the son of Adiel, son of Jaazera, which is just an interesting name.
The life of the Maasai people look the same according to the stories of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. If you read Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you find that everything narrated there is absolutely look the same with the Maasai style of life. So, there was one interesting conversation between me and one student from Luther College who was studying religion. And I told him, we Maasai believe that the life that has been narrated for a long time, found in the Old Testament, look exactly the same with the way we live right now. Then he didn't believe it, but the day he was going to the airport and into the plane coming back to US, he told me I proved it. Yeah, so thank you very much for listening.
So we can take questions for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then we've got some discussion questions we're interested in talking about. So, go ahead.
How are the spiritual leaders chosen?
Pardon?
How are the spiritual leaders chosen? Or are they chosen by elders or by the spiritual leader, or does a boy feel that he is called to be a spiritual leader?
It's really very interesting. So the spiritual leaders are coming from special bombers that has been given prophecy naturally that is very hard to explain. So not everybody is a spiritual leader, and they are not actually selected or appointed to be a spiritual leader, but many of them are born in that kind of prophecy in Maasai, and that's what we believe. And there are some few special families that they are connected to prophecy, but according to generation to generation, one boy might be born and he can see a lot of things, and from that point people know that this is going to become a traditional leader, divine, you know, something like that. But it's very hard to explain how it happens. It contradicts a lot our capacity of thinking in Maasai land. Yes. Yes.
You said that the Maasai are a minority, and I was just curious, who are the majority?
So, when we actually, the minority idea came into being in so many people, so many tribes, in so many locations around the world. That's the definition of, I think, United Nations, mm-hmm. that come into being when some group of people are like isolated, discriminated, pushed away from their lifestyle of living, and maybe they are cut off from the access of, you know, living in the environment. So mostly because maybe they are very few than other people, they can be defined as minority.
So, but you're living in the land where you have always lived.
Yeah, we are living in the land that we have always lived in, but in the dispersals of the national parks. So we are not living in the war land that has been the land of our forefathers.
Is your culture, the Maasai culture, in conflict with the government of your country, or is that kind of what you just answered by minority and majority?
Oh yeah, it's conflicting because
with the government.
Yeah, it's conflicting because the government doesn't want the nomadic way of life of Maasai. That means taking care of livestock in large number. So it is conflicting because they need us to stay only with few number of cows in order them to legalize their criminality of taking our land in the name of conservation. So in that kind of situation happening, it's conflicting because the people, the families cannot live without, because people didn't go to school and we don't have specific jobs that someone can stay, and maybe I'm working with a specific field of professionalism, and we don't practice agriculture because we believe opening a land for huge agriculture is a crime against nature. So in that kind of understanding of Maasai, so now the government need us to move away from our lifestyle, that means taking care of cows, and become like the rest of the people. So, yes, because they need land. So it conflicts a lot. But also, at the same time, the Maasai people are used in so many bad ways of issues of tourism. There were so many people interested in their culture and their way of life. So the government maybe use them in so many bad ways. So it contradicts and conflicts a lot.
So how pervasive is Lutheranism, or Christian, I guess Lutheranism and then Catholicism and Pentecostal? I'm not quite sure I'm asking, but is it Christianity fairly pervasive? A lot of people are Christian, or is it a small number of people?
There's more Lutherans in Tanzania than in the United States. I think about 5 million?
There's 5 million Lutherans.
And how about Catholic, more Catholics?
More Catholics than Lutherans.
Yeah.
Catholic churches.
And how about Pentecostals?
That's growing quickly. I don't know about Pentecostals, but it's really the biggest growing church in Tanzania.
Thank you.
So then, are most of the Christians Kikuyu rather than Maasai? Or, and how do you the Maasai welcome the Bush people, the Kikuyu, as equals? Is that reciprocal? In other words, do they have the same high regard for the Maasai, or is that not?
So the Kikuyu are the Bantu speakers people, and they're living in Kenya, and I think it's I think it's the most populated tribe in Kenya. But they have impressed a lot of modern civilization for a long time than the rest of the tribes, and so. To them, Christianity and modern education matters a lot, but their culture is quite different. And all the idea about the Maasai belief that God created these people is in the definition about humanity, about togetherness as human beings, because God created them. And now it's very interesting that in Kenya there have been a lot of political violence. If maybe you heard that. So these tribes in Kenya move and kill each other because of political issues. But in Kenya, politics is the only Maasai. Since political violence happened, the only Maasai people didn't dare to move and kill people because of politics. Because it contradicts with the belief of Maasai people towards other human beings, but also it contradicts with the Maasai way of believing in traditional leadership, that the Maasai don't believe in modern democracy. Like, why do you tell us to make two people to stand and say and campaign and divide the people, because you need a leader, one of them. So to them, it's so hard to believe in, you know, these campaigns that divide people. But for Kikuyu, it is happening because they have more civilized, and all the development of the economy, they dominate in the country. Yeah. You're welcome.
I've got two questions that are separate. The first question is, when the Maasai people, when they become Christians and they pray to God or sing hymns or say the creed, what name do they use for God? They use the word Engai.
Yeah.
Good.
They use the same word Engai.
I'm very interested in that because I've worked among people in Papua New Guinea and also Aboriginal people in Australia, and it was the same. They had the idea of one true and living God, and so that was adopted, the name that people already had. I think that's very important. The other question I had is separate and different question. And the Maasai traditional religion, what was the function of sacrifice? Like, they went off into the bush to do sacrifices. What was that actually for?
So the sacrifice actually bring a meaning in the Maasai religion too much close to God. So it brings closeness of a human of this person or these people with God through anything they are sacrificing. It's really very interesting that maybe we can integrate that idea with the story of Abraham and his son. It's like, I don't know how to explain, but it seems like there are some of the things, stories in the Bible that might give us a lot of thinking about it, according to your question. So, but actually, the function of it is to bring closeness, so that God will attend our prayers because of sacrificing this ram sheep, to make sure that God is going to attend our prayers or appease our prayers.
So, kind of transitioning towards discussion question, Kilingat, and maybe this is for you to answer, but then also for everyone else, now that you've been in the United States for a couple of months. I mean, usually when we talk about the relationship between Christianity and other cultural religions, we're thinking about all the good things that Christianity is doing for them in the history of colonialism. But I've seen a lot of things through conversation and visiting and in this presentation that are positive things from Maasai religion that might blend very well with our concept of religion in the United States. I don't know, from people who are in the session now or just from you, Kilingat, what do people think? Are there certain things that came out of your understanding of Maasai beliefs that ought to be adopted into Christian beliefs?
So, like, my discovery about the way you practice religion here, it is becoming a curiosity to me. In the sense that I have seen people talking a lot about God in so many different stories. Like, here in Holland, some of the people share their stories, you know, and this kind of stories empower people and the beliefs of what we do in everyday life. So that kind of stories are similar in Maasai land, because mostly the issues about survival in the jungle, in our environment, when something happened that someone was spared from death of any dangerous animal. So the narration comes later in the evening from this person, in front of elders and children, and but the conclusion end that it was because of God. It didn't happen because of God. So one of the stories that I have been experiencing here, people share, it has been empowering people to believe in the powerfulness of God. But also, there is so many other customs and traditions, the way you worship. Because let's say the wearing style of Americans has become like a custom, as a tradition to them. It's similar to us that we go to the church with Moshe Shukas. So the way you do you that God cannot look the dresses you are wearing in order to say maybe you are a good person or you are a bad person, which it contradicts to other denominations, the way people, they say, you know, wear their clothes when they go to the church. So there is a perception that there is an understanding that going on with me that, oh, people are going to the church and they believe that God is going to attend them, God is going to listen to them, because God just look at the heart of a person and how much you are willing to go and gather as people of God, rather than what do you wear, what do you have, how much do you give maybe in an offering in the church, or you're not giving at all, which is quite different from the rest of some churches in Africa and modern city civilization happen right now. Some people go to the church and they show that I can give a lot of offering than anybody else. But in our religion, is that how much do you attend a human being? How much do you accommodate a person who is fast? How much do you accommodate a person who is hungry? How much do you accommodate a person who has psychological and physical alignment? How much do you care a woman that don't have children? How much do you give to the poor in our culture and in our beliefs? That's why marriage is mandatory in Masai land. That if a person, a man or a boy, is now ready, is in the stage to marry and he don't have nothing, the people of his clan gather together and contribute for him. And when he marries that day, he'll be given a lot of cows. And from that moment, the master believes that, oh, this person has forgot poverty now. Poverty is no longer with him. So that is a religion. That is the culture and religion in master society. So when I take it from here, when I arrived in the United States, I see that people don't... Nobody cares like how much am I giving in the church, which is equal to Masa land, but not, which is similar to Masa land, but it is not similar within the big cities in Tanzania, in the churches, mostly about Pentecostal churches. And also some churches are trying to take that kind of concept because they are taking a lot from people. So, I have actually acquired one of the powerful things that we do as Maasai people. Forget about, let's say, Christianity, for example, as we do. But we also integrate Christianity with Maasai culture. So at the same time, if we believe and we have strong conviction about our traditional religion and we converted it in or integrated it into Christianity, it's very hard for the same people to withdraw away from that believing because it has been part of their life. So now giving another powerful, you know, translation about Christianity and with their religion, it become more powerful and more powerful. So it is it is actually, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing that all people here, they just go and gather together. It doesn't matter, and nobody ever shown that, like, oh, I have maybe more than you. I can give God more than you, because maybe God will listen to me as long as I give. But in Maasai religion, we believe that a person with a good heart is the one who has good relationship with God. And I see that here, that we go with good heart, we pray together. Sometimes I see a small bucket during Sunday, people giving, it goes only with $10. I was seeing that and I was observing that. It was really interesting. But if in the other modern cities in Tanzania, if it goes and the pastor receives it, he will absolutely say, oh, now you are not doing anything in the house of God. So, yeah, that's what I can say. Very interesting question, but also it's very hard. But I see a disaster. That's my prediction. Because if you are telling people that they don't believe in the opening land for agriculture to change the way of life, then we will struggle to get land for agriculture. So there will be a problem in the land. That's number one. But where is that land? The land that has been occupied by agriculturalists? Or the land already occupied by the conservation for national parks? So I think there will be a lot of clashes because of land. But also, in science, in technology issues, if the larger population of people didn't go to school and they have professionalism, and now they don't have livestock, they don't have land, where do you think they live for? It's a disaster. So the only thing I see is a disaster. Maybe if there is another way to rescue the people, to live in the, to live in the way that goes compatible to their cultural heritage. Because if you give people sustainability that goes with their cultural heritage, I think there would be a way, there would be a hope. But that hope is diminishing every day. That hope is, That hope is trying to, is oppressed by, I don't know, maybe somebody or some people. I don't know. So it's a very hard thing for, always for me, when I contemplate and anticipate the issues about science and technology, about, conservation, about education and all that kind of thing. So when I see, because I see myself as I'm crazy. It's just because of reading a lot of things, or maybe meeting a lot of things. So when I see this, I see fear. I develop a lot of fear. I fear for the future of the people, not me. Not only me, for the people. And it's because certain kind of pity happen when you see the people you belong to, atrocities and tyranny is happening to them. So maybe if the church also will stand. I don't know. Church is very powerful. Mm-hmm. because it's always transmit love. And I think love is a powerful thing to transmit to the world and the communities of the government to change maybe the way of life. I don't know.
What, Killian, when you talk about changes in Maasai traditions and changes in way of life, changes in especially land use, do you feel like the Lutheran Church or the Christian churches in Maasai land are doing a lot? Are they very, very active in helping alleviate the situation? Or is it something that, like, do they have a lot of power, I guess, to change the situation?
There are some of the churches that they are very powerful. And they are very powerful because of the traditions of the church. That means if the pastors of Lutheran, maybe they go to school and they educate a lot, mostly they have a powerful thinking about the people, the culture, the church, the love of God. So I believe there are some of the churches, maybe like Lutherans, they can do something. And they can change something. But the only problem is, or the challenge, is the issues of secularism. The church, separated from the state issues. That the government, the politicians don't like the church to be the voice for the voiceless. And they say, the church, do your own roles in the church. Preach about spiritual to the individual people in the church. If you get out of the church, you're not allowed. You're limited. But the same politicians, when they need a lot of votes and this person is not a good person, they always come from the church. And so, one of the fear in, let's say, in Tanzania government or in Kenyan government is that they fear a lot about the church, mostly in the issues of voice for the voiceless, for the issues of breaking human rights. So they fear a lot about the church. So I think the church has to be a role model in the world to the people who are voiceless. Because, let's say, if people, showing up, if the people move in a peaceful way and they're coming, let's say they went to the church, the media, the government, no, they went to the church, they prayed about the issue, they get out, they show up in something, I think there will be changes. But now the problem is, how many people will be convinced to see the reality of that situation? And say, we are the people of this church and we want this, we need this, we want this. So it's a very hard thing because of the government is so powerful. And mostly if the government do anything, when you come against it, now you are the troublemaker against the state.
You mean Tanzania?
Yeah, I mean Tanzania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or any other government. Can also say,
yes.
Any other government can say you're against, you're the troublemaker against the government. So,
when did you learn to speak English? Recently?
Yeah, it's kind of weird or an interesting story. Because our education system is crazy. So, you go to primary school for 7 years. And we learn all the subjects in Kiswahili except English as a subject. But also, when you go to secondary school, we start to learn all the subjects in English except Kiswahili as a subject. So you see how much. So now you go to secondary school, you're already, an adult. So it's very hard to learn the other language. And there's a very big problem of communication because of the language barrier in the history of education in Tanzania. But the way I was learning English was really very interesting because I was reading, when I read anything about English, so let's say the word like land, I just write land in a small exercise and consult in the dictionary. So all the definition about land from the dictionary, I take all single words to make few crazy sentences. So I was making these sentences by my own, I practiced it, and I was really like to go to debate, and I loved to talk to people who talk English. So when I went to secondary school, I put that effort learning simple English. I was learning simple English to complex. So when I went to high school, it was like, now I understand so many words in English and started to, you know, cultivate a culture of reading. So from high school I started reading and the university, yeah, this I did, so maybe one day too I'll be the writer or the speaker.
Uh-huh. When you said you went to school, did you go to a Tanzanian school or a Maasai school?
I went to Tanzania schools because all the schools are under the policy and laws of the government. It doesn't matter if it's in Maasailand or anywhere, but all schools are segregated by the government policy and law. But I went to a school that was under the community, Maasai community, built by the... It was the first school built in Maasailand in my district, built by the Italian government through a member of parliament. So it was really very interesting to go to that school. And it was really very nice because it was very hard for Maasai, because so many Maasai are already integrated in cash economy, like to sell cows, they don't have money to take children to school. So what this member of parliament was trying to say, if you have one female cow to contribute as a project to school, you can bring one female cow and you go to school and study. So many people were like taking, few of them went with one cow and studied for 4 years. It was very interesting. So I have to attend the other person.
I was interested in your description of both the culture and religion of the Maasai and kind of contrasting that with, with Christianity or with Western monotheistic religions. And the thing that struck me was this concept that a human being or groups of human beings can bless or curse another human being and cause them good or ill, which is totally contrary to, like, at least, the beliefs that I hold, which is that God has the power to bless and cursing. I don't know if anybody has. I don't believe our God curses. So I wonder, that would seem like a very hard thing to integrate those beliefs and make them work together.
It is interesting, and it's also contradictory on my side, as maybe I have been a critique in some issues about even my religion and maybe Christianity and even maybe about other non-believers. So the point is, I have realized that the Maasai, like elders, were given authority to bless or curse. And this was one of the main tasks to make all the younger generation to know that these elders can curse and bless, but also to withdraw the tension. That this tension that the younger people can actually disrespect of what is going on in the tradition, and also for the old people, that we have to respect them unquestionably. So if we have to respect them unquestionably, how this kind of belief was actually planted to our minds, to our hearts, is that curse is a bad thing, blessing is a good thing. And in that kind of context, brought these people into one of the respectful society. that the families, the heads, the people of different ages do respect in so many different ways, and they treat other in dignity. So I think the main point was to make sure that there will be no tension for the young people, and to bring the disrespectful among the members of the society. But also, we can go further in that kind of thinking, that that if these people, how can a human being bless, and how can a human being also curse? So let's say if I'm saying according to our context of belief. So if this old people or older person is in a state whereby I did something wrong to him, so he utters some of the bad things, that means to curse me. And at the same time, in our belief, we know that the way God has to forgive you is when you also ask for forgiveness of what you know was happening, as it is a kind of the rule of behavior. So this is one of the moral judgment, the moral code of conduct, to make sure that we live in a certain kind of behavior, that we say these are the elders, they deserve something kind of respect, so that we stay away from the tensions of the society and make sure that all these kind of traditions are, performed well according to what we believe. So that is a moral code of conduct, I think.
Is education free? Is that your land? You had to pay the cow. Oh, that's right, you paid the cow.
You make contributions. So you will have primary and secondary school are technically free. However, they're not, because you will have to make a certain amount of contributions. Maybe school supplies, maybe you're paying for hostel. Some schools have hostels, some don't. So it really just depends on that school. Then there's private schools as well, so tuition.
Yeah. So now they say the fundamental primary education is free. That's what the government is saying. Yeah, primary. Not Kenya. So in Tanzania. Yeah. So in some extent it's free. But if you see the facilities of education, I think it was supposed to be maybe the education which is not free, but at least it is a quality education. So they are like, education is free, but it's crazy. You find one school in some remote areas has only one teacher, and the students are 700 or 2 or 4 teachers. How can 4 teachers in the United States teach maybe, let's say, 700 students? It's very hard. But in school, like in the school, when I was in a primary school, I known only 5 teachers in 7 years in my lifetime. Only 7 teachers. And the school was more than 1,000 pupils. When I went to secondary, I have never got a teacher of science. So this community school was taking people who graduated from high school, that they are anticipating to go to university. So now they were taking, like, the elders who were taking care of this school, like, at least they can teach, because something is better than nothing. So they brought these high school guys to teach us. So it was like, but I never got a mathematics or chemistry teacher or biology. So at least we're like teaching us history, geography, and all my efforts. But I was cramming a lot of biology and chemistry by my own. But I was very poor in it. calculation of mathematics or physics. But it was amazing. I didn't have a teacher, but I could calculate or balance the organic equations of chemistry. But all the laws, like the laws of physics, I could state them without looking. But if you give me a task, like to calculate using the Boyle's law, I can't calculate it. Or the laws of flotation, the laws of an expansion of spring. It was really, but I was reading myself. But nobody ever told me.
Maybe we could take one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a question, but as I listen to you present, I see the Maasai religion being very, very similar to the Christian religion in terms of a loving God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, thank you. Yes?
I found it interesting that Maasai relate to God as a supernatural being through the dreams, the divineness, and the disasters. With note to the disasters, is there an example of a moment that you felt where God was present? And if so, what was the response of the Maasai to that particular disaster? Was there a way of feeling closer to each other or closer to God?
So mainly the disasters that are regarded as God is talking to us are the disasters like drought, and when Oroyo Lengai and the nearby society, communities erupt, and the magma burn, you know, the landscape and the cows will be affected. So those are kind of disasters. But when they happen, the people believe that there's something wrong, which is that something wrong, it might be very hard to describe it, but they say there's something wrong spiritually, and so now people have to be very close to God. So, yeah, so people actually become very close spiritually, but there's no evidence, there's no any one of the overwhelming evidence to show that this kind of disasters showing people can describe it like, oh, God is angry, but it's just because of spirituality. It's a spiritual thing. But also if the cows died because of the drought, so now people have to go very close to God and pray in order for rain to come to the landscape and fertilize it. So that kind of thinking, that kind of belief brought people to know that if God brings disasters, it's because what God wants us not to forget about Him. That's what we believe. That if any disaster happens, it doesn't mean that God hates us. No, they mustn't say it's because God is reminding us something. It's God is making us to awake rather than depending on our own capability and everything. And maybe even we can do a lot of bad things because of maybe staying away from God. But if this happened, God is reminding us that wake up, you don't have to sleep from believing, from, you know, summoning about me, and that's what they believe.
What about with climate change?
The issue of climate change is really interesting because the Maasai don't believe in something called climate change. But also, it's very, I can say the issues of all the causative of climate change is unfair to us, I can say that, because we don't produce anything. We don't have industries, we don't have automobile engines, we don't have spraying of pesticides to the farms or to the plants, because we don't produce in a large context like that, then we can spray our farms. So all the positive of climate change, and now we are the victim, all of us. It doesn't matter you're producing anything that affects our climate. It doesn't matter you don't produce anything that affects our climate. But we are all the victim of climate change. So the issue of climate change in Maslan is that they don't believe that there's something called climate change. But the drought caused by the climate change is happening, and maybe people connect with their belief that God is angry with something. But they don't know that in the rest, in the horizon layer, there is something happening. They don't know about that. And so it's really very interesting that they don't know, but also they don't contribute anything to the destruction of climate, our ozone layer, and maybe the environment at the same time, because we don't have like sewages. Because if you go to some cities, you find that there are a lot of sewage from even in people's houses, and they leak, and they pollute the air, but also they pollute maybe the street, and I don't know. But also from industries at the same time. If you go to Maslan, we have been living in a life that we don't live in luxury. We have never learned to live in luxury, but we have been learning to live in dignity. So the climate change is a global crisis. It is also, I believe in my understanding, that we are also the victim of Maasai people. But still, they don't believe that it's a climate, it's something that has been destroyed. Yeah.
Thanks, Gillian. So on Friday,